This is Whitley Strieber's Dreamland. Expert hosts like William Henry on secrets of the past, Jim Mars on politics and conspiracy, Marla Fries on psychic phenomena, Anne Strieber on matters of the spirit, and Whitley Strieber on aliens, UFOs, and who knows what else. And weekly science reporter Emmy Award winner Linda Moulton Howe. We say it like it is. We take you deeper, down where the real secrets lie. Dreamland, welcome to the edge of the world.
Today I'm talking to Dr. Robert Kuntz. Dr. Kuntz has a remarkable and interesting background. He is a PhD in experimental nuclear physics. He is a BS with honors in physics. He has training in electronics at the U.S. Navy and National Cryptologic School. He has worked for the National Security Agency, and he is extremely interested in implants and has a lot to say about them. He is presently working in the area of zero-point energy, if I'm not correct, and we're going to be listening to something about that as well. So welcome to the program, Dr. Robert Kuntz. It's your first time on Dreamland.
Thank you, Willie. It's an honor. I'm a fan of yours. I go to your message board every day, and I have friends on there, and I enjoy the people very much. I say hello to all my friends out there.
Oh, great. Well, thanks very much, and I'm glad to hear that. Now, you have had quite a distinguished career. And you earned your PhD in experimental nuclear physics. You studied electronics in the Navy and at the National Security Agency, and also taught digital electronics and electronic operation of computers as used in intelligence gathering at the NSA. So you're close to this subject in a very interesting way.
Yes, I do think I have some information that I can give to your listeners, and I'm very interested in this subject of implants. So I was very impressed by the work of you and Dr. Roger Lear, and I'm a little concerned about this because, as you know, these implants, as you reported, these implants apparently have non-terrestrial isotopic ratios. They emit electromagnetic radiation in the range of, let's say, 90 megahertz or 93 megahertz.
One of them did, yes.
Yes, okay. And there's also apparent microstructure in these implants.
That's right.
So that now there's a third bit of evidence there, a fourth bit of evidence, but there's three pieces of evidence. Where do non-terrestrial materials, how do they end up in the bodies of persons on this planet, such as an American scientist? That's the question number one. And then these devices, why are they emitting electromagnetic radiation? There's apparently some reason for that. I think I know one of the answers to that. And then the third thing is, all this points to some sort of advanced civilization. People, persons, if I can use that term, from an advanced civilization putting devices inside the bodies of citizens and at least one scientist.
So well, I know of more than one scientist, but only one scientist who's ever been willing to actually come forward. There's also some intelligence people who have had these objects in their bodies. Mm-hmm. And there's
say that again?
People in the intelligence community.
Oh, really?
Yes. For various reasons, naval intelligence has a kind of a special relationship with this, apparently. And there is a naval intelligence officer who's had one removed by Dr. Lear's team. He's spoken out publicly. It's not a secret. So, although I don't think he's ever used his name.
Mm-hmm.
There are also people sort of in ordinary life, like Alice Levy, who's had one removed and possibly has another one in her now.
Mm-hmm.
And, it ranges across a fairly broad spectrum in terms of the people who have come forward and had these objects and had them removed, or in my case, failed to have it removed.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a number of questions. I've got a million questions for you. I know you were on Coast recently, but you didn't really talk about implants at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's really all I want to talk about today.
Okay.
And now first you've mentioned in an email to me, which I have here in my hand, you said, I thought you might want to know that a concerning electromagnetic emissions by presumptive alien implants, 93 megahertz is a key scalar frequency in the FM band. Now, the one that was in the scientist was emitting at that frequency, and a couple of others have been close to it. Could you tell us a little bit more about that frequency?
Okay, that frequency is a scalar frequency associated with production of free energy in copper. So that's probably an emission related to the power supply of the device. It probably almost certainly works on free energy production, what they call free energy. Actually, energy is conserved. In my opinion, of all these devices, there are negative energy particles that are emitted that account for the total energy, but that's a power frequency. That would be the frequency associated with the power supply of the device, in my opinion.
I see. So when you say the power supply of the device, could you tell us exactly how you see these as functioning?
Well, they have their own built-in way of generating power that comes about through scalar physics, basically. An advanced civilization, people in an advanced civilization are going to understand scalar physics, which our scientists do not understand for the most part.
I don't even know what the term means. Why don't you go back and tell us what scalar physics actually means?
Okay, let's go back to Tesla. Tesla and others were able to generate free energy. Tesla was going to provide power to the whole world with one of his magnifying transmitter. It turns out you can generate all the power that you want, you need, if you generate the right kind of scalar gauge transformation in the system that's associated with scalar waves. Okay, if you remember
when you say the word scalar, what does that mean?
Okay, if you take two electromagnetic waves and cancel them. You once built a magnet system with two opposing magnets, and you had a problem with it, right? Burned down your house or something like that, or caused a fire. Well, if you have two opposing electromagnetic fields and they cancel each other, they generate scalar waves. But most physicists in today's world, in the United States, in the West, don't understand about scalar waves. They do not use... Okay. It's associated with free energy production in the case of your implants.
Right. Now, scalar you mean very large waves.
No, scalar means that they're not vector. They don't have the vector properties of the electromagnetic field. They don't have a direction that is a point field in space. And,
I see. So they propagate anywhere and everywhere. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think that's one way to say it. Okay. Normally, the electromagnetic field has an E and a B field, an electric and a magnetic field. But if you cancel the electric and magnetic fields, what happens? What happens if you have two photons, for instance, that cancel each other? Well, the electric and magnetic fields cancel, so there's no longer any vector fields present, but there is the scalar component produced by that canceling photon energies, and that produces scalar waves.
Wow. So this would be, what would be the difference? Why would they want to produce a wave like this?
Because that's a way to generate energy. You generate a transfer, what is called a gauge transformation. You can generate energy from the system with these transformations.
So therefore what we're looking at is something that's actually powering the implant.
Absolutely correct. That's correct.
Okay. And this is what we're seeing there is a side effect of it, of the
exactly.
power of the process.
Exactly. I don't think that's a transmission frequency. It could be, but I think that's the power of the system. It's just generating sidebands emissions associated with its production of power, in my opinion.
Okay, so it's a side effect. And now I'm going to just briefly run down. We have a number of other frequencies that aren't close to 93.0 as well. And in my own case, the object was taken into a... While it was turned on, visibly turned on, and when it used to turn on, it would turn my ear bright red, and it would make a noise that I could hear.
Mm-hmm.
But I was with a scientist, William Mallow, at the Southwest Research Institute when it turned on once, and we rushed into a signals acquisition laboratory and couldn't get a signal out of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that was...
Scalar waves, may I say, are very hard to detect. You cannot necessarily use an ordinary electromagnetic spectrometer device to detect scalar waves. It could have been emitting radiation in the scalar wave bands that you could not detect with an instrument. But let me also say these devices operate with phonons, sound waves. So you almost always hear sound waves in association with their operation. But the sound waves could be extremely high frequencies.
This sounded like an old-fashioned modem rasping.
Okay.
That's how it sounded.
Well, that might have been the low-frequency resonance, maybe around 6 kilohertz. There's a special resonant frequency down.
So in the laboratory, we didn't pick anything up. That doesn't necessarily mean, because I'm quite sure that as sensitive as their instruments were, they weren't prepared to pick up scalar waves. And if this had no, as you said, no sidebands coming off of it, you wouldn't have picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
So
correct.
In the case of John Smith, there was a sideband, and that's why we picked this wave up.
Six kilohertz is also a power frequency. Can also be used for generation of power too, but more it has special applications. So I think the 93 megahertz signal is associated with the power of these devices, and possibly you were just lucky that you were able to pick up the signal, because it might have been putting out a lot of energy in the scalar waves that your electromagnetic spectrometer could not detect. I think that might be the case.
Well, that could be. So the result of that would have been that we just got lucky in this particular case.
I think so.
Now, what about the cases of others which have frequencies that aren't close to this, like 104, for example, was one?
What, 104 megahertz?
Yeah.
Well, that would be in that same range. That would be from a different metal. Copper is 93 megahertz. 104 megahertz might be from, I don't know, gold, silver, some crystal material, metallic crystal material, probably. So that would that'd be another element in there. Now, the other thing is that the laws of, you could be operating with a system that has different laws of physics. If it's from an extraterrestrial source, from some older part of the universe, then they brought that material down here, the laws of physics could be a little different in there, probably are different. And so the electromagnetic emissions might not exactly match up to what we have here on Earth.
Now, you say that's a very interesting thing, that the laws of physics may be different. Folks, we're going to take a little break right now. And when we get back, we're going to be asking Dr. Kuntz a little bit more about what these things may be doing, because that's the critical question. And I'm going to eventually get to the question of mind control, which, as you know, bothers me very, very much. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Dreamland's unique blend of information and ideas.
We are talking to Dr. Robert Kuntz. He's presently working in the area of zero-point energy. He has a long background and pedigree. He has been with the National Security Agency. And if you go to his website, Dr. Kuntz, let me see here. I just dropped it off here.
DrKuntz.com.
Yeah, DrKuntz.com. You can click through to his background, and you will find there a remarkable, truly remarkable collection of diplomas, letters, et cetera, and so forth, proving his legitimacy. Because, folks, as you know, we often have people in this who show up in this community who are don't give us
charlatans
their background, and and one would assume it's a charlatan, and you just can't seem to find anything out about them, and but this is different. Dr. Kuntz is extensively documented, to say the least. So
I did that because I was entering in this field. I wanted to make sure that people knew that I everything I say is true.
About yourself. And so now let's get on with this a little bit. We have implants in various people that are emitting signals, and some are not emitting detectable signals, or are not emitting detectable signals. Now, you've said that you think that these signals may be a side effect of a power system. So what would the power system be doing? What is it doing? What is it generating power for?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Whitley, and I don't know the answer, but I am concerned about this. When let's assume that all this is correct, and I believe it is. I believe that this is a extraterrestrial implants, and what purpose are these for? Why are these individuals coming here, apparently, putting implants in people to include naval intelligence officers, apparently, and American scientists and ordinary citizens? And what are they doing with these devices? It could be mind control in part, as you say. These devices, scalar fields, can do, these things can put out a lot of power. You think, well, it's just a tiny little thing. But they could put out maybe 300, 400 watts of power, scalar fields, and change. You wouldn't know it because they run cool. That's the property of these devices that use this scalar physics, that they don't get hot. For instance, Dr. Thomas Henry Moray once had a unit that put out 50,000 watts. It didn't get hot. The more power you demanded of it, the cooler it ran because of the fact it was emitting a negative energy scalar waves to make up for the fact that it was generating positive energy. So it couldn't run cool. You won't know it. Now, this scalar waves, what do they do to human consciousness? And if the extraterrestrial material, if it's extraterrestrial material, and it's emitting those scalar waves, it may be affecting your sense of time, too. So you can have time slippage and all.
Good
time
Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. We've got a really interesting conversation here today because he just blew me away. Let me, and too, and I'll tell you why. Let me read something, if I may, that I sent to a person who is very interested in time slippage yesterday. I sent her this email. All right. Dear Starfire, I have had two time slips recently, one yesterday, one today. This is a couple of days ago now, June the 14th. On June the 13th, I saw an article on the BBC News website, June the 12th, quote, evidence that French plane broke up in the air. Went to click on the link, it was no longer there. And this literally was 1 second to another. This has happened to me before. Then the next morning, I opened the calendar section of the LA Times and saw an ad for the new Woody Allen movie and said to Anne, great, the new Woody Allen movie has opened. And we laughed about Larry David, who is in it, being funny. A second later, I glanced down. The ad was gone. Gone. Now, this happens to me not every day, but certainly once every 2 or 3 months. And it, twice in a row is fairly unusual. These are time slips.
Oh, yeah.
And so go on now and talk a little bit about this, because I'm absolutely fascinated, of course.
Well, if you're receiving radiation from a piece of material that has the different laws of physics from an older part of the universe, the electromagnetic coupling constant that is involved in the emission of the electromagnetic energy operates on a different time scale. So basically what happens is that it can move you into a kind of a time warp. Your internal clock may be running fast. Something will happen. You'll have very little recollection of what happened. And maybe 2 hours, you'll check a clock somewhere and you'll find 2 or 3 hours have gone by and you don't know where it went to, and you have very little recollection of what happened, because basically you've got a conflict here. There are two different laws of physics. The laws of physics of the extraterrestrial material, which is emitting a radiation, and the laws of physics that we have in the rest of the Earth. It's a little difficult to explain, but basically it has to do with the age of the universe. These extraterrestrials and extraterrestrial material presumably come from an older part of the universe. The laws of physics are a little different there. The electromagnetic coupling constant is weaker, and therefore the time is different. So if you encounter the fields from an electromagnetic device employed by these extraterrestrials, you're moving into your body's moved into their time. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is running on its own time. What seems like maybe a couple hours passed in everybody else's time, and you're in a dream zone, and you come back, and it seems inconsequential, as if nothing happened. then later you think you start having recollections of what about what did happen during those 2 hours, and it's sometimes hard to recall. But basically, we're talking about these extraterrestrials operating on different timescales. Their material, the laws of physics aren't the same. The isotopic ratios won't be the same because of the electromagnetic coupling constant has weakened as the older parts of the universe, and so that's basically the idea then behind the time slippage associated with the emissions or any UFO encounters, things like that. And you know, other people can see the whole same event, and they will have no recollection either. They just pass by, or they see it, it registers, but it's like a dream.
Well, I've seen other people when I was involved in one of these events. And such as I've actually seen my wife while I was involved in the event, and she looked dead. She didn't look asleep. She looked dead.
Mm-hmm.
Dead.
Yeah,
was terrifying.
You were probably in a different time zone than hers. You were in a time warp in a way. And so because of the fields generated by the system or the implant or the extraterrestrial persons you were close to. You know, when you encounter these extraterrestrials, people think, oh, we'll just go out and shake their hands. It's the same as us. But it's not so easy. You know, the laws of physics are different, in my opinion. So we're, you know, I assume they make a gauge transition, what's called a gauge transition from their point in time, space to here. And they don't travel through velocity, through translation movement in the normal sense. They just sort of pop out from one place and pop out somewhere else. And basically what happens is they bring their laws of physics with them.
Well, you know, that's certainly my impression, because I have seen that the way the world works and looks changes when you're with them.
Mm-hmm.
Dramatically,
mm-hmm.
And very dramatically,
mm-hmm.
in ways that
mm-hmm.
I can hardly even put into words, and
mm-hmm.
That would be what it would be like if mm-hmm. you were suddenly dealing in a situation with the different laws of physics.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sort of assemble the underlying information out of which the universe is formed in a different way than we do, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, my research indicates that the electromagnetic coupling constant is not constant. We call it a constant. I don't believe it is constant. So basically, we're talking about timescales. Shifts when their time scale is not your time, our time scale, and when the two encounter, there's a confusion. To us, it may be inconsequential amount of time. It doesn't register very much because of the mismatch between the laws of physics. Now, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, but you know, still the question remains: why are these implants being put in the bodies of people?
Well, that's right, and this is what we're here to find out the answer to. And let me ask you this, and I'm not going to ask you directly, but is there any reason in your past work that you might have some direct knowledge of this?
And you mean the national security work?
Well, whatever. You've done a lot of things besides that, but have you ever come across this before? Let me ask you that. Why did you get interested in this?
I got interested in this because I photographed... I took photographs of this unusual track in the sky, and I ended up with a very pretty clear picture of a flying saucer.
Oh, I see.
And so that really started me in this whole area about 7 years ago. And I kept the thing secret. I've kept quiet about all this because I didn't want to get into the whole UFO debate, frankly. And then now I've said, okay, this is it. We're in. We're in with both feet, and I'm going to say what I need to say and let the chips fall where they may. It looks to me like there were extraterrestrials visiting this planet, and it looks like they're putting implants in people. And to me, it's a national security issue, and I think the national security community covered this stuff up for 40, 50, 60, however many years. And what happens now, we're in over our head. That's my opinion. I think that they're in over their heads. They know some, and I say they, there's a group, some maybe 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 people know what's going on, but what can they do? They're kept it quiet so long. It's a big secret they're going to keep. It's you know how it goes when you get caught in a lie.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit more in a minute. They did get caught in a lie, and they're in trouble now, and so are we. We'll be right back.
I agree with that.
You're listening to Whitley Strieber's Dreamland Online.
This is Whitley Strieber. It's Dreamland. We're talking to Dr. Robert Kuntz. Dr. Kuntz has got a long history in physics, very well documented on his website. And he is has worked for the National Security Agency, among others, the U.S. Navy, and has worked extensively more recently in free energy, and is very interested in implants and knows a lot about cryptography and communications, electronics, esoteric electronics. And so we have talked a little bit about the fact that we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
There's trouble here.
I agree.
And I want you to tell us exactly why you think that's true.
Well, here's the thing. Apparently what is happening is that these presumptive these extraterrestrials are coming in and putting implants in people without their permission, as they choose, with whom they choose, and we're just expected to accept it, I suppose. What purpose? I don't know. If I came into your home and put an implant in you in the middle of the night, you wouldn't take that kindly, I wouldn't think. You would say, boy, that guy, he's not a nice fellow.
I didn't. It happened to me, and I was aware of it when it happened. But here's the thing.
I'd say this is a threat. I'd say this is a national security threat.
In my particular case, it was put in by people. I saw them. I was awake when it started. They woke me up by noises that they made as they approached the house. And I recall the house was a May night in 1989, and the windows were open in the bedroom, and I heard the crunching of gravel in the driveway.
Hmm.
And that woke me up instantly, because the crunching of gravel meant a car approaching the house, and this is mm-hmm. behind a powerful locked gate, et cetera. And so I was frightened immediately, and it woke me right up.
Mm-hmm.
I was well armed. I had a very strong security system,
mm-hmm.
and I had a bank of switches beside the bed that could turn on lights all around the house.
Hmm.
I went for that bank of switches, and as I was going for it, I saw standing at the foot of the bed a man and a woman. The woman was in front, and she was smaller. The man was they were both normal-sized human beings, but
mm-hmm.
I could see the man's head above her, so she was significantly shorter than he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a big beard, and they mm-hmm. came immediately, approached the bed.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I knew, it was dark. I could not see a thing. I could not move, and I was lying on my right side, and there was pressure being applied to my left ear.
Mm-hmm.
And in waves, and I could hear the woman talking soothingly, but I don't remember what she
mm-hmm.
said. That was how it was put in. Then
mm-hmm.
suddenly I was free again. I immediately jumped up, this time going for the gun under the bed, the shotgun
mm-hmm.
under the bed, and I heard
mm-hmm.
crashing in the woods. A huge light flashed over the house,
mm-hmm.
and it was all over. They were gone.
Mm-hmm.
As I woke up, I heard a male human voice in the backyard say, "Condition red." This was just a second
mm-hmm.
perhaps before I saw the two people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this object has been in my ear ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you just briefly about the object, because the listeners already know this. And I'm mm-hmm. sorry, folks, to have to repeat this, but he has to know.
I have to know, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here's what it happened. I tried to get it removed. The doctor opened it up, opened the place up where it is, where you can feel it in my ear, the top of my earlobe,
mm-hmm.
the peanut.
I've seen the video.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what happened.
The thing moved around. The doctor couldn't get it out.
It moved down into the bottom, way down into the earlobe, and stayed there. It didn't move. It didn't wobble. It just actually had motility
mm-hmm.
and controlled movement.
Mm-hmm.
And the pathologist who saw the piece of it said it was a metal. He nicked it as it moved away and got
mm-hmm.
the little piece.
Mm-hmm.
He said that it was a metal base with biological, what looked to him like protein-based cilia on it. He said he'd never
mm-hmm.
seen anything like it in his
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me.
Now, 15 years ago, I might have not believed you so much, but now I'll tell you, I believe you.
Well, I mean, I've got the doctor's testimony.
No, I believe your testimony, too.
Plus,
I believe what you said is true.
I believe
you're also a time slippage there, because these characters move in a different time. Zip, 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 zip. And they're
who were these people?
Well, people, okay. Yeah.
Who were they?
Hybrid,
I mean, they're not
hybrid.
The only people I've seen in connection with the visitors.
Hybrids, I guess. I don't know. I really don't know. I sort of confidants of these. hybrids.
Could there be parts of the U.S. government that's working with them?
But, sorry?
Could there be people in the government who are working with them, with the visitors, on their side?
Could be.
Have we been co-opted?
Could be some people have. I wouldn't say system-wide, but, you know, elements, there could be corrupt groups, yeah.
Or people who are doing it without knowing it.
Well, you know, I tell you, I worked at the NSA. We had everything compartmentalized so much that things could go on in one compartment, and if you got a bad apple in there, the whole thing could get corrupted. Sometimes these black programs turn really black. I mean, you know, they do things they shouldn't be doing, and who knows what goes on. I mean, for instance, who controls the codes needed to start a nuclear war? Do we know? Do you ever see these guys, you know, in some vault somewhere? Who are they? What kind of? Sometimes these black programs can go bad. So it could be that it is a co-opted group. They might even be penetrated by hybrids, or I don't know. Who knows? You know, that's the trouble with the black world. And so now, you know, let me just say this: most of the people I work with the NSA are tremendously wonderful people, good citizens. It's probably also true of the CIA. But in any of these black programs, they can get dark. And when I say dark, I mean evil dark. So, you know, you just have to have a word of caution. And some of this, somebody is keeping this information away from the president, congressman. There's an extra constitutional, something extra constitutional.
Yeah, that I know, because I was witness to a Senate committee's attempts to get information about this out of the NSA. And it was all, the hearings were all classified, so I don't know what went on in the hearings, but they asked me enough questions to where I surmised that they were having a lot of trouble getting the information that they wanted.
Sure. You know, I'll tell you what happens. They say, let's suppose you contact somebody at the NSA who was a good person, they want to help you out, and they go to somebody else and they say, what about this? And they say, we can't tell you, and you can't talk about it because it's too dangerous. It's a really serious matter of national security. Don't say a word. If you say anything, we're going to prosecute you. Or we're going to do worse.
What you're saying, though, is that the system is set up to where it could easily be penetrated by skillful outsiders, especially outsiders armed with the ability to control the human mind. And
absolutely,
it could be used and used against us, so it would appear as if our own system was part of this malign presence, if it is malign.
I agree. You know, these blacker-than-black programs, who knows? Who knows what goes on? I ran into a fellow one time. Well, he was pretty heavily, I thought he was okay. He was a colonel in the Army, and we talked. He was in intelligence. And the next thing I know, he told me he liked to kill people with garrots, I guess you call it, some sort of strangulation.
Garrots, yeah.
Garrots. And one thing and another, and I don't want to go into the details, but
it's a particularly horrible method of killing someone.
Yeah, this guy's up to no good, and he was inspecting NATO bunkers for nuclear safety, to make sure the bunkers are strong enough to withstand nuclear attack, and he was weakening. He told me he purposely weakened them, and that was the end of our relationship. Something happened. I don't want to go into the details, but, yeah. Okay, so these blacker than black programs, who knows?
They could have sociopaths in them, psychopaths in them, people who have different loyalties.
Absolutely.
Or even, and this is something that has always worried me, what if there are aliens or who have been, people who have, you mentioned hybrids, who have been created who look like us but are not us and could be in very sensitive positions in our world?
It could easily be the case. I ran into a fellow when I was started talking about these photos I had of this flying saucer. And I was talking to this guy shows up, and he started talking to me, and we started talking about field effect transistors and diodes and all kinds of stuff. And then I said something about a transmitter. And he looked at me, and he said, what's a transmitter? Now, Whitley, you and I know that there are naked babies in Kenya who know what a transmitter is. And I'm talking to this guy, and he doesn't know what a transmitter is after all of this, field effect transistors. He had something missing in him. So I was riding my bike up the street one day, and I ran into the guy again. His wife or girlfriend comes out, and she has strange behavior. Her bone structure is all wrong. Her, you know, and she keeps looking off into the horizon with this distant look in her. She doesn't say hello. She's a young lady, but her bone structure is wrong. She doesn't communicate. It's strange, very strange. So I would say,
where were they exactly? Were they living near you?
Apparently they were going to the college up the street. I don't know. I never investigated. You know, these things happen.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling. You think later, God, why didn't I investigate this?
Yeah.
And that gets me to the question of mind control.
Well, another thing is that these events, encounters with extraterrestrial, advanced people with different physics, as I was saying, the events don't register the same way. Your encounter
right.
seems like a little dream. It doesn't seem consequential. It's like an inconsequential event. You know, when you're taken aboard a flying saucer, you think you'd remember, but it doesn't work that way because of the fact that your laws of physics mismatch. It doesn't register in your mind the same way.
And so that's right. It doesn't make, as I said earlier, it doesn't make sense. And another effect of it is it happens to a lot of people that I've known, is that afterwards, an experience that may be vividly remembered initially, and this has happened to me,
mm-hmm.
becomes very dreamlike. And finally, mm-hmm. you end up deciding it never happened.
Yeah, all right.
Absolutely.
Right. That could also be a laws of physics mismatch. Having to do with short and long-term memory in a way, you know, your mind stores things. We don't understand consciousness, you know, really.
Not at all.
So, you know,
We need to take another little break. We'll be right back.
This is Whitley Strieber's Dreamland. We go deeper.
This is Whitley Strieber. It's Dreamland. I'm talking to Dr. Robert Kuntz about implants. Dr. Kuntz is uniquely capable of talking about this subject. He has an extensive background in the field of esoteric use of signals in communication. And so we are having a very interesting conversation indeed. And I've alluded a couple of times to the function of these implants and objects and the possibility that they may involve mind control. Now, could you expand on these possibilities, if you will?
Well, okay. These presumptive, let me just call them implants. Let me call them extraterrestrial implants. I'll skip the words that, you know, qualify everything. These extraterrestrial implants potentially can control your mind because of the emission of the scalar fields that can affect consciousness. Now, I don't know exactly. Could be gathering data. I think they probably are gathering data. But who's to say? They could switch these things on at some instant in time and boom, you're on a slave planet.
When you say on a, what do you mean exactly? This could become a slave planet.
It could become a slave planet if the right people had these implants, enough of them. Boom, you know. I mean,
I worry that may already have happened, and that gets me to the motivation for it. In our human experience, slavery is a very expensive proposition, and that's why societies that use slavery as their underlying their economic foundation have always failed in the past, because it's just too expensive. It costs more to keep slaves than it does. It's not economically feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to wonder what their motive would be. And let's take just a slightly different perspective. Say we find a planet which has got primitive people on it we can travel the universe. Say
mm-hmm.
we have all of this knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we find a primitive planet, and we would likely find many that is
mm-hmm.
have got little creatures on it who are quite intelligent but who are basically very inexperienced and perhaps new, or in our case perhaps a declined civilization. And what motive would we have to even bother with them? I mean, what would be our reason?
Well, you know, I'll tell you something, Whitley. That comes back to this idea that comes out of academia, that if you're advanced, if civilization is advanced enough, it's going to be good. I've heard this before, that an advanced civilization...
I'm not a proponent of that, but go ahead.
Right. Okay. I think that some people are just like to control and manipulate. Maybe they want to have the materials from this planet for their own purposes. If the laws of physics are indeed a little different, they could take that some of that material back to their world and then generate scalar fields that make them younger.
Well, they could also have uses for our souls, because we don't actually know what those are. We suspect that something exists that is some part of us exists that gathers experience and information in a way that is different from the biomechanical system that we can come into direct contact with, the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know for sure, but it could be
soul harvesters.
Exactly.
Well,
that they could
be
making use of these in ways that are very difficult for us to comprehend.
That's possible, I suppose. But let me stick with the more conventional explanation that these are just people just like control freaks or, you know, Hitler or Stalin. Not all of them. I believe there are very good advanced extraterrestrials. But some of them, you know, these ones that are putting implants in people in the middle of the night, like you and another fellow I talked to, I spent several hours talking with him, and his name is Tim, first name is Tim, implantee number 9 of Dr. Lear. And this guy is, I've investigated this. I'm convinced. I'm pretty sure it's a national security threat, and I'm pretty sure that the national security community, the people I used to work with, got in over their heads. They thought they could handle it. They thought they could cover it up. And now what we have is more and more people getting implanted, and they don't know what to do.
Well, I think that it started probably way back in the Truman era when we began by shooting. And there's no question Dr. Milton Torres, who has come forward since the British Ministry of Defense released records showing that he had been ordered when he was an Air Force pilot in 1956 to shoot at a UFO over England, that is the tip of a large iceberg, that the Truman order from 1949 to shoot at them, to shoot first, basically, and ask questions later, is true. And that's exactly what we were doing. And from my experience with them, the minute you pulled the trigger, there's no going back.
Friend or foe?
Well, I think that I don't think that they have second chances in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you act in a certain way, then that's always final with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we are in trouble. And gradually over time, I think that probably we're being infiltrated with hybrids.
I think so too.
People are being implanted, and I don't think all of the hybrids are as non-functional as the one you saw.
Well, let's just pause here for a moment, and let's recall that some people say, "Oh, this is nonsense." But you have physical. You and Dr. Lear have physical evidence
that it's not nonsense.
It's not nonsense.
It's very solid stuff. Have you seen the report on that last implant that was?
I'd love to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I'll ask Dr. Lear and the person involved whether or not you can see it, because it's a remarkably thorough report.
And
with all kinds of detail about what may be in there, but what we don't have is understanding of its possible functionality. We know it was broadcasting because the 93 megahertz broadcast was detected before it was removed from the man's body. So no question about it. It was broadcasting. We know how it worked because we can see the structures that were involved. But as far as what it did, that is an open question. We just don't know.
Well, I don't know what they do exactly either, but I sure wouldn't want one put in my body. Willie, if I were you, I would get your implant removed.
Well,
I know.
I feel that I use it.
Yeah.
I feel it's useful to me. And that could be mind control, or it could be that it's true. I just don't know the answer to that question.
Well, the scientist you interviewed said that he felt better after he got his removed.
Some have felt better, and some have felt like they lost something. It depends on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is I can see amazing things that I wasn't able to see before it came into my body. And I'm very divided about it. I also don't feel a sense of being under mind control. I could be just deluding myself, I have to admit. But
I think you should get it removed. I know Dr. Lear didn't give you an opinion, but my opinion is, if it were me, frankly, because of my background with the National Security Agency and the Navy, I get that thing out of there even if I have to dig it out myself with a rusty knife. That's how I feel about it. Now, you know, I'm an old cold warrior, right?
Yeah.
You know those kind of guys.
So, I know those kind of guys. I am one.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't involved officially in the Cold War, but unofficially as a citizen, I certainly was.
Right. And you're against tyranny. You're against what the Soviets stood for.
Yeah.
And you're against what the Nazis stood for. And part of that is doing what you want to do to anybody you want to do at any time you want to do it.
Just and yet at the same time... Yeah. I had a remarkable experience with them. It was there were elements of it that were not pleasant. It's true, but the initial experience in 1985, I look back on it more like I think a chimpanzee who had gradually come to understand that the things that had been done to him had been done for his own good, would look back on something traumatic like that. I think that there's a lot more to this than just the dark side of it. I do think it has a very definite dark side, but it's a complicated picture, and there's other things out there that aren't so negative, in my opinion.
Well, you know something? It's going to sound a little funny to some people. I think you understand it, Willie. One of the power frequencies on this device is 6 kilohertz, and I just designed a system where it had 3 coils in it that worked together to produce power. And it was 666.
You know. Oh, dear.
So 6 kilohertz, 6 kilohertz, 6 kilohertz. Work, work, work. 6 is the work frequency. 6 days a week, God worked, right? Okay, so anyhow, I don't know. I wouldn't accept it. I wouldn't accept this implant. I think you'd be better off getting that. I know what you mean. You know, it's like, heroin has its good sides too, in a way. When you're taking it, you think, "Oh boy, this is great." So I would get it out if I were you.
Well, it's an interesting question.
And then you could look at you could do a technical analysis to it.
If there's anything left of it, there's still a lump there. But goodness, it's been in my head for 20 years and 20 years and 1 month at this point, because it was middle May when it came in.
And maybe it's no longer so operative.
Well, that's my thought, that it may not be. And yet, the things that happen to me, like time slips and so forth, are so frequent that, you know, if it's not involved in that, maybe it's just basically a piece of space junk now. It's long since ended its usefulness. But interestingly enough, after it got put into me was when I began to be questioned extensively by people who were interested in my book Majestic, who had an official locomotion behind them, and it was so all of that would have been, if this thing had been operative then, would have been picked up, and if it was put in by those people, and they would have been able to perhaps hear and, you know, listen to what I was saying after I was having conversations with them. Maybe it's a very sophisticated personal bug. See what I mean? In other words, there's a possibility that it was put into me by people. I mean, certainly it was put into me by people, and maybe they weren't alien related. Maybe it's a sophisticated instrument that we've built. Could that be?
Well, I don't think that, I don't think it would be an officially sanctioned part of the government that would be doing this. There might be some rogue elements that have been penetrated by forces, extraterrestrial or otherwise. Excuse me. But also the Soviets and now the Russians apparently were very highly developed in this area of scalar physics. And also goes back to Nazi times. What was going on there? Where did they get all this information on scalar physics back then? And the flying saucers they were building and things
like
that.
We often have Joseph Farrell, who is an expert on this subject, on our show. And yes, it's a good question. They got that information from somewhere, and it couldn't have been the good guys. Not unless they have a singularly inept view of our society and how it works.
It goes back to Einstein's unified field theory. If you have the advanced physics, you know about scalar physics. Most of our physicists don't know about scalar physics. They'll tell you that free energy is impossible. because they don't know. It'd be easy enough to explain to them, but getting these people to listen, they won't listen to me. I can't get emails answered or anything on the subject of free energy. You know?
Well, I know it's a real taboo subject, like, that fusion, cold fusion used to be until recently it was proved.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you won't see anything about that fact in places like the New York Times. And a lot of people in physics are just ignoring it because it goes against their theory.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're so afraid of being wrong.
Right.
You know, I mean, everything has to be absolutely in place and checked at the nth degree. And then they'll say it's okay, but what good does that do you 5 years later? And you make how much progress can you make? You have to be willing to make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time in my calculations and one thing and another. And so, you know, if people were just a little more humble and listen, people have got to listen to you and Dr. Lear, and maybe me too.
Well, they don't, though.
Well,
they don't. The official world certainly does not. Dr. Lear recently tried to have a press conference. In fact, he did have one, and it wasn't his part of the press conference was completely ignored. It wasn't reported on at all, and yet he provided ironclad proof in the form of some very extensive studies of this object. There was no question about the fact that it was not a normal object. And I think that part of this is that there could be a much larger scale of mind control going on around here than we realize.
It's possible
that we, as I say, we may already be deeply affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question, and we're going to have to leave the show with this question, mm-hmm. because it's the question mm-hmm. of Dreamland. One of the questions of Dreamland is what the heck is going on? And those of us who are somewhat free, or in my case, perhaps simply feel free.
Mm-hmm.
I have to keep asking this question. What mm-hmm. is going on? And because it might not be too clear today or even in 10 years, but it's liable to be very clear in 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. people will look back on this era and they will think, why didn't they do something?
Why were they quiet?
Right.
The same way, you know, when the Nazis came. I mean, for the Jews, where were the people that should have spoken up?
Yeah, they were silenced by fear and disbelief,
mm-hmm.
and you had people debunking the camps in
mm-hmm.
the West
mm-hmm.
right up until the time they were actually found, and you still have that.
Mm-hmm.
You still have that evil, extraordinary evil of this guy, the Holocaust denier that.
Mm-hmm.
Was recently the church recently re-embraced,
mm-hmm.
and I have to tell you that having a Holocaust denier re-embraced mm-hmm. by a former member mm-hmm. of the Hitler Youth was really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what that former member of the Hitler Youth claimed afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So
Whitley, I tell you something. I respect you greatly. You got to keep up what you're doing. Stay healthy. You and Dr. Lear are doing very important work. It doesn't get any more important than this, Whitley. It doesn't. In terms of national security, it doesn't get any more important than what you're doing.
Well,
I don't care if either one of you have a clearance or don't have a clearance or anything like that or an official position. That doesn't matter. It is.
We don't have either,
as far
as I know. I certainly don't.
Yeah.
I don't think he does either.
No.
I'd probably know about it if he did.
Good that you don't.
No. Well, thank you very much then for being with us, Dr. Kuntz. Dr. Kuntz's website, and if you would repeat it again, Dr. Kuntz, I would appreciate it.
Okay, it's drkuntz.com, drkuntz. My UFO pictures are there. There's lots to read. Whitley, you're a great man.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for your courage in coming out and speaking about this very taboo subject.
This has been Whitley Strieber's Dreamland. We'll be back next week with another journey to the extreme edge. Don't miss a single week and tell your friends about our unique program. Our Dreamland crew is Evan Ross on sound, Dana Augustine on program art, Daniel Stegall, webmaster, and I'm your Dreamland announcer, Brian Arnold. Thank you very much for listening.